Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to AmagiMetals.com and check them out. That's AmagiMetals.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men
of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Asked Miss America Out to Prom Guy, Real Men of Genius. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm Austin Peterson, your host, here with my co-host Ian Hewitt. Ian,
good morning.
Nice to see you, Ian. So today is Monday, April the 21st, and today we're going to talk about a controversy that exploded when a young man asked Miss America to go to prom with him. And let me just read the story here first. There's been plenty of controversy surrounding a teenage boy who had the courage to ask Miss America to prom and earned himself 3 days of suspension as a result.
So he got a serious punishment.
He got a 3-day vacation for asking Miss America out to prom. And Nina Davaluri, who's 25, was flattered when 18-year-old Patrick Favre interrupted her question and answer session at a Pennsylvania high school to present her with a flower and a very public invitation to prom. Patrick's classmates thought his move was awesome, but the administration was furious, and it appears that she was not offended at all by the stunt, and she actually responded with laughter. The whole school went nuts, and she later released an official statement expressing her desire for mercy on the young teen, and so she said, begging them, please don't punish him for this.
Please don't behead him.
And apparently, well, Ian, the administration here, they're saying that they're not punishing him for asking her out to prom, they're punishing him for disobeying their orders, because apparently what happened was he told some classmates that he was going to do it, and then of course what happens, the telephone game, everybody starts talking about it. Finally, school administrators heard that he was going to do it, and they said, don't do it, this is disruptive to the process. She's here to talk about diversity, she's here to talk about science.
Right. Well, their justification is that it was distracting, and he even feels guilty, and he feels like he distracted from the message of STEM. I imagine he's been, you know, guilted and browbeaten into this.
Right.
Really ironic is the effect that the administration's punishment has had. Their punishment has really distracted from any message about STEM that she might have conveyed, and now there's a national story about this kid asking her out to prom because the school suspended him.
Exactly.
It would not have been as big of a story otherwise.
Well, exactly. And there was a great Albert Einstein quote that somebody posted about this story over the weekend that I have to read here. It's that great spirits will always encounter violent opposition from mediocre minds. And isn't that really probably what some of it was? Think about like one of these administrators, he must have been this flabby jowled, or like there had to have been like this one feminist like administrator sitting on the board who's like, oh gosh, how dare he objectify Miss America and ask her about this when she's here to talk about diversity, you know, like, oh, we need to learn these important lessons, you know. Well, you know, the school actually maybe needed to learn an important lesson. And number one, maybe how to be brave, how to be courageous, how to ask a woman above your level out. And two, maybe if he got shot down, it would have been a good lesson for people sometimes don't go batting out of your league.
That's true. It's a win-win.
It would have been a good lesson for everybody to learn, I think.
Really, not only are contests like Miss America about aesthetics and desirability, but in presenting about STEM, actually, Davaluri was pitching participation in STEM by talking about how it was desirable. She was saying to girls, you can use, you know, STEM to create lip gloss, which is what she is doing.
Tell for our audience, tell them what STEM is.
STEM is an acronym for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Mm-hmm. I think I got that right. Mm-hmm. And she was there to, I assume, advocate more female participation in STEM, since there's disproportionately low female participation in STEM. I tend to think that's due to simply people having different interests, but it's sort of a popular cause to advocate for increased female participation in that area. Now, so I think given the circumstances, him asking her out to prom, while distracting to some extent, was much more humorous than, for instance, if she had just been there to speak as a famous neuroscientist and not Miss America.
Right, okay. So, and so, of course,
I can see how in the latter case it would have been more unacceptable. But I think it was harmless here, especially since she found it totally flattering and not offensive at all, and has asked that he be pardoned.
Exactly. She was very sweet and kind about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was the administration that had the problem, but of course there's some feminist outrage here. Listen to this. Now, the person speaking to the school was there to discuss diversity and the importance of science, technology, engineering, and math. Given that these fields are dominated by males, and just ask any female scientist or engineer about their experiences dealing with the boys' club mentality of their respective fields, I'm assuming the intent was for her to advocate for female students to pursue those fields. The young man who stated his intent to subvert a question and answer session in order to publicly objectify her and was forewarned not to do so disrupted the event anyway and received the consequences he was forewarned about. And no surprise there, he seems to be taking it like an adult. In my opinion, a more appropriate punishment would be a research paper about the difficulties women face while trying to work in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math. Oh, of course, of course. He's not, you can't publicly, how can you objectify someone who objectifies themselves?
Right, well, I don't know that it's necessarily objectification. Mm-hmm. It depends on what your definition of objectify is.
Good question, yeah.
But if he was objectifying her by asking her out, then Miss America is objectification. I'm not saying that it is. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you want to participate in something like that, that's well and good.
It's a beauty pageant.
But then you can't draw an arbitrary line between that and him humorously asking her out when she was not offended by it. Well, and also, by the way, shout out to my uncle, who is a nurse, who participates in an overwhelmingly female field. I'm sure he has to combat gender bias in his field.
He's
got to
deal with
basis.
The girls' club.
Clearly, we need speakers and we need corrective programs to combat this horrible women's club that is the female, field of nursing, and really just dominates this field and excludes men. And that must be the only reason why there are not more male nurses. This needs to be a national crisis.
I want to talk about dating and relationships just for a moment, because I think that there is that this is a big problem, because I think that it encourages men not to be weenies, to be little weaklings, you know, and not to ask women out who are above their grade. You have to think there have to have been so many women who are like, oh, she is way out of his league. How dare he ask her out and stuff like that. How are you ever going to date a woman that you think is incredibly magnificent and beautiful if you don't have the courage, you don't have the guts to go up to her and ask her out? You know, one of my favorite things to do, Ian, is to try and talk to girls who are way out of my league, like just as an experiment, just to see if I can do it, because it takes courage, man. It takes courage. I dated a girl once who was a woman, excuse me, once. Who was in heels, 6'6" tall. 6'6" in heels. I mean, do you know how intimidating that was to have to approach a goddess of her stature like that? And I did it. I approached her because I knew that if I could conquer that, I could conquer anything. If I could get over my fear of approaching a woman like that, then I could do it. I could do it again in the future. And I think that this is a subject, a story, a lesson to be learned from this, is that, you know, as a young man, you should have the courage to go up to a woman that you find to be the most beautiful woman in the world and ask her out on a date and not be ashamed. And what the administrators are sort of reinforcing is this concept of stay in your place. You know, ironically, she's there to probably talk about diversity and, like, maybe these egalitarian concepts of of equality, and in reality, what they're more likely reinforcing is this stay in your caste sort of a mentality here.
That's,
you know,
absolutely
what I mean?
True. You have people, I think, are increasingly isolated for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. For our increasing dependence on technology, I think, makes it difficult for people to form one-on-one connections with each other. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have you know, at speakers at universities, like the Can I Kiss You guy that came to my university.
What's that? Oh, gosh. Tell us about this, Ian. Give us a quick recap.
He advocates he advocates asking for permission before you kiss a girl.
Oh,
even
my
after
God.
You've dated her repeatedly. And before you do anything, really, he thinks it's necessary to
Can
ask
I kiss
for permission.
You?
And if you don't do that, he thinks it's a form of objectification.
Oh, my God.
And almost assault. So you have people like that going around browbeating people, and you have a school suspending this kid for 3 days when he did something that was reciprocated and appreciated
by
Miss America.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this concept of consent. I think this is actually a really important topic.
By the way, there have been several surveys on whether women think that that's attractive, and they do not.
I can tell you something.
I mean, just intuitively, it's common sense that they do not, but in case you think I'm making that up. The data is there.
Yeah, no, well, there's a bunch of YouTube feminists and Tumblr feminists who talk about this concept quite a bit, the idea of consent. And, like, again, you know, it places unrealistic expectations on males when you do this and you demand, you know, oh, I must get consent before I get a kiss. Let me tell you something. I have asked one girl in my life if I could kiss her, and you know what she said? No. She said no. And all of the other times that I've kissed a girl, I didn't ask for it. You have to just feel it, and you have to be in the moment, and you have to just understand. You have to be able to read people's body language and their signals. You know, there's something... It's dangerous being a man. You know, it's very dangerous being a man. I think that there's something in the war of the sexes, the battle between the genders, that puts men at a disadvantage for knowing this. You know, we have to read all these signals and know when to act and how to act. So when
you can't reduce all human interaction to these little legal, you know, nitpicking intricacies,
but they're
it,
saying
it really
that though.
Devalues
feminists are wanting
and
you know,
devalues our connection with one another.
So here's the thing: feminists and some moms of young men are now speaking out saying that men should get text messages before they have sex with a woman on college campuses. Have you heard about
this? Well, the moms are probably just concerned about their sons from a legal standpoint.
Yes, they are.
Right.
Yes, they are. And they're concerned about their sons because there is a double standard for who is considered able to give consent when it comes to sex on campuses. If both parties have been drinking, you know, the female is considered to not have agency and not be able to give consent. And so the idea is that as a male, you should get text messaging, have her send you a text saying I consent to sex, because if the next day she decides, you know, oh hey, this is not what I wanted, then you can be sued for rape, you can be charged with a crime.
That's smart of those moms.
And you know, the feminists are doing it obviously because they want to put men into a corner again, and I think that this is another example of women trying to put men into a corner. And some of these administrators, I'm sure, were dudes who don't get any.
Well, if feminists are doing it, then, you know, that's encouraging, because that's just feminists are concerned about, you know, possibly people that might be falsely accused. Generally, the typical feminist narrative is when I was a resident assistant in college, we had a presenter from the Women's Center came and talked to several RAs, and she said to us that false rape accusations just don't happen. It just doesn't happen.
Wow.
She said it was a myth and just made this categorical blanket dismissal. We should just assume that someone is guilty by default in this particular crime and sort of override the normal way we approach the justice system.
Mm-hmm.
So if feminists are saying, you know, we do need to take steps to ensure that people aren't falsely accused, I'd say that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm trying to get inside the heads of these administrative officials, and you have to wonder what some of their baser reasons for this harsh punishment was for the kid. You know, what their real motivation was? Was it that he defied them really, or like was it that some of them had ulterior motives in this? And I hesitate to dwell in the realm of speculation on some of this.
He was suspended because she came to use her status as Miss America to promote STEM, and he made it about her being Miss America and her being desirable rather than it being about STEM. But in fact, those are the things she was using to promote STEM.
Right.
So it really just convoluted, nonsensical reasoning here.
Absolutely. And I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you know, there comes a time, too, when you have to, it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. And so I would encourage any young men out there to don't tell people if you're going to ask somebody out.
That was your biggest mistake, saying it beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell people you're going to ask her out, because you know that she's going to find out that you're going to ask her out before you get a chance to ask her out, because now you see how the telephone game works. People are going to spread your gossip and rumors about what you're going to do immediately.
Right.
Because you'll never get away with telling somebody something at high school without somebody finding out before.
And the lesson for school administrators here is, you know, if you don't want to make a big deal out of something, don't crack down on it with a cruel and unusual
punishment. Yeah, leave the kids alone.
That'll draw national attention to your school.
I know. Let the kids have some fun. Jeez, you know. And it is funny, you know, what you say. You talk about, you know, using the platform of Miss America to advocate for STEM, which, you know, I'm for. You know, anything that you can do to get people to get more interested in arts and sciences and math and mathematics and engineering. But, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, you talk about objectification and we talk about sexualization and people, you know, using sex to sell something. And I think that what's really happening here is Miss America is using sex to sell technology, engineering, and mathematics, which is, I think it's fantastic. You know, I saw an episode of Pawn Stars last week where someone brought into their pawn shop. This is a show on History Channel. And then someone brought into their pawn shop a star chart from the 1940s, from World War II. And it was a star chart that had all these naked ladies in it. And what it was designed for sailors to learn the stars, to learn about the stars by looking at these beautiful pictures of naked women. And then what their way that their bodies were positioned were showing them the charts. And this was because they got men to pay more attention to their star charts and to learn about the positions of the stars by comparing them to female bodies. And you know what? The U.S. Army had a pretty good idea on what it was that got men interested in things. So
that's interesting. Ancient, I know I hadn't heard about that, but ancient classical memorization techniques when tutors were trying to get you to memorize a text in Greece or in Rome, a lot of the times they would sort of use with men in particular, like sex or violence related memorization techniques to get to stick in your brain a little bit more.
Right. So here's the question. Like, you know, if you're using a woman who is from a beauty pageant.
Right. Now, it wasn't directly sex, but yeah, using her beauty and her desirability.
How is it not sex? So you're talking about parading a beautiful woman on stage in her bikini and everyone has seen her semi-nude and you're bringing her in to talk about engineering and technology and mathematics and you expect me.
I don't expect you not to think about sex. But
right.
If I were a strong proponent of Miss America, I would say, well, technically that's not what we're doing. You may be thinking about that, but we're talking about beauty.
Oh, really? No. So you parade a half-naked woman in front of me and you tell me not to think about sex?
I'm just trying to be Miss America advocate.
Well, you're trying to play PR for them and be devil's advocate for their public relations.
Right,
but excuse me, if you walk a bunch of beauty contestants in front of me half-naked and you tell me not to think about sex, I'm going to tell you you're a crazy man or a woman, whatever it is. But I just think that it's funny that, you know, people try and divorce sex. I think there's, you know, I think the problem is that there are a lot of sex-negative feminists out there, you know, and there's also a lot of sex-negative conservatives. And when I say sex-negative, what I mean by that is these are people who view sex in a negative light. And not a sex-positive person is someone who sees sex as a positive thing, and they tend to not be conservative about it. But So I think that the issue here too is that people are people who are sex negative perhaps look at Miss America and they say, oh well, it's not, they try and divorce the sexuality from her message. And I think that it was her sexuality, her beauty, that gave her the platform to have that kind of
right
message.
I'm saying you can draw a distinction between those two
you
things.
Certainly can.
And I would of course say from a conservative perspective that what you're calling a sex negative attitude, I would say oftentimes is placing a higher value on sex.
Okay, well, we will debate about that
also
another time.
Also, props to Davaluri, but Miss Kansas should have won.
All right, well, we'll end the podcast right there, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think about this topic? And do you have some topics, something you think we should be covering on the podcast? Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and send us a tip. There's a button on the front page. You can send us an email. Oh, and the most important thing you can do to help us out is you can go to iTunes, you can subscribe to the Freedom Report podcast, or you can download the app Stitcher on your Android. Go to Stitcher, download the app, and you can get the Freedom Report podcast downloaded every day. And even more important than that, you can send us your email this month. If you send us your email this month, you'll be entered to win a replica of George Washington, our first president's flintlock pistol. It's a beautiful replica of our first president's sidearm that he carried during the Revolutionary War. So send us your email on the little pop-up there, or you can search for the flintlock promotion on the front page, and you'll be entered to win. And if you do, you'll be getting our insider newsletter and all sorts of great information, tips, news from thelibertarianrepublic.com. You can get anywhere else. So don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, send us your email, come back, listen to us every single day, come back. You're home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.